Welcome to the Sage of Three Paths podcast. We are three brothers who use this space to talk about a range of topics, anything from politics, race, anime, and pop culture, each giving our own perspectives and opinions. I'm the youngest, Mo Janna, also known as Junior Lam.
I'm the oldest, Okello, but my brothers call me AJ.
Middle child, Oz, aka Wizard King.
We three brothers.
One sec. We once again thank you for tuning in and joining us on this sometimes cathartic journey. Let's dive right in.
Style. If you're used to negotiating, then you will be fine. If not, they'll rip you off, but you won't even know. So in that moment, it was like, cool. I'm not trying to like fleece you so you don't make nothing, but also I'm from here, innit? That's what I was trying to give the vibe for. But it was really nice. And then, I don't know, man, at some point I started hearing some oldies. They were playing some really old school music. And then a DJ came on and was playing. I was like, this beach is kind of live, you know? Like, at first, I probably arrived at like 2 p.m. It was fine. Not many people were there. 5 p.m. came. Oh, my goodness. You start seeing the groups coming and groups coming and groups. I was like, hang on a minute. This looks like a whole beach party. What's going on? And then it gets later on tonight. They're playing music. It's just all good vibes. People are dancing. And then they have this massive, huge fire in the middle of the sand. And they all dance around the fire, bro. That was, for me, amazing.
Isn't that one of the stereotypical views of Africans dancing around a fire?
Listen.
Now, just saying, it has been a dream of mine to do that.
It was.
I don't know where it came from, but I just have a dream to be on some type of beach where there's a fire and I can dance around it with
man,
music.
It was amazing. And it's like, as we were like, it's like they're just dancing in a circle. And I'm talking about, this is not some small fire. This is huge. Enough for me to like run around. I don't know. I can't say in terms of measurements, man. When you go, you'll see it. And you have to go to that beach, you'll see it. And they're just saying stuff like, I don't know. I couldn't really catch it at the time because I was just lost in the sauce, like having such a, enjoying myself so much. But they were just saying, you know, go marry again, or saying like, you're not going to marry again. Something, something, something. You're not going to marry again. And they're all chanting that as they're running around. And I'm like, this is lit. I love my country. I've never had fun like this anywhere else. I can't have fun like this in London. I'm not doing this in Shoreditch or Brixton or anywhere.
You'll get arrested. Or you may get shot.
You know, for real. So yeah, man, that was like a great, another great experience just to kind of go there and be on the beach and there's this huge fire and, oh man, that was just like a different experience. I can't tell you how that felt. There's not like, oh, we need to be safe regulations. There's fire around. Nah, the kids were running around the fire too. And it was all safe, no problems, you know. And they do that every Sunday and Tuesday, I believe. I think that's what I heard. And it's just like, this is a regular thing that the locals can come to and just do. And that's like just so amazing. But yeah, man, there's a lot of different points and a lot of different things that I experienced whilst I was there. Some good, and I will be honest, some bad. So when you're there, you really will see the disparity between the higher class and the lower class. Like, from what I saw, there's no middle class. You either have it or you don't have it. And if you don't have it, like, you just don't have it. And being some of those places and seeing some of those, you know, kids, I think, again, you know, that trip was, it was a big journey for me. I had my own kind of mission that I wanted to accomplish there with the, you know, getting the engagement done. But also, like,
glossed over there.
Yeah. But that's, honestly, that's, it's weird. That's kind of how it felt in reverse for what I was experiencing there. Because in my mind, I was like, man, I've got this idea to get engaged whilst I'm out here. And I don't know how I'm going to do it. I don't know when I'm going to do it, but I just know that people know I'm going to do it and people are planning stuff for this. So I have to do it at some point, but I just need to, you know, have that time where I have that right feeling. I didn't want to feel pressured into doing it. So I really had to hold the stop sign up when it came to like family members saying, oh, we should come and do this or you should come and do that. And I had to really just be like, you know what? I need time just to be with myself and, you know, my partner at the time, just so we can establish that moment or create that moment or allow that moment to happen where then I can fulfill that plan. It was successful. It went great. Went well. She said yes.
Mo, can I ask? Obviously, congratulations. That's wonderful. More peace, more blessings for the future to come. But can you... How did you do it? How did you do it?
Oh, man.
AJ, I want to pose this question to you also because I don't know the story.
So maybe it's cheesy. I don't know. But... So me and Mercedes, we don't celebrate Valentine's Day. That's something that we said, you know. Actually, Valentine's Day, is very gimmicky. If we want to love each other, like, why do we need a day dedicated to say, oh, this is the day you should show love to your partner and take them out for dinner and buy them chocolates and flowers? F all of that, actually. And she's the one who said to me, yo, what? I'm not feeling this Valentine's Day thing. And I'm just like, when? But obviously, this is a different context, different situation. We're in, we're on vacation, let's say. So I was like, do you know what? Okay, let's book something. Let's do something. It would be nice for us to do something. So I booked a boat trip for us to go on, like a cruise, sunset cruise. It was really nice, good vibes, all inclusive, food and drinks as well. And it was good food, man. And strangely enough, we ended up meeting some people that were there. And of all places, they live like two streets away from us here in London, which was completely strange and odd. I think the guy, I think his name's Josh. Shout out to Josh if you're hearing. He works with Channel 4 shooting documentaries. So he said he first came to Sierra Leone shooting a documentary and then went back. He's like, yo, I have to come and bring my girl here because this place is like a hidden gem. And it really is a hidden gem. Like tourism there doesn't really exist. And for me, it's like I see so many opportunities for it to be booming, but I think it just needs to be initiated. Someone needs to kind of take the initiative to carve that out and then say, this is something for tourism. This is something for tourism. But at the moment, it's nice because it's not like that. So it is really a hidden gem. Like you can be on the beach completely by yourself and there'll be nobody there. And it's not like the beach is just, bro, the only thing you'll see on the beach is maybe a dog. And it's, the dogs out there are different.
I hear that.
The dogs out there are different. I like the dogs out there. They're chill. Maybe it's the heat. I don't know. But they're just very different. They're not like jumping up on you, trying to bark. Nah, them dogs mind their own business.
I've got wild dogs.
Wild dogs and like tame dogs. But yeah, there are wild dogs that are there. And yeah, so we had booked this boat cruise, we're on it. And then afterwards, it was a nice boat cruise. Afterwards, I was like, okay. And we had the driver come and pick us up. And it was like, it would be great just to go to a nice location. So I had the ring on me just in case. I didn't know if it was the day I was going to do it. But I was like, just in case. If I feel like the moment comes, then I can do it. And then, yeah, we had just driven down that beach road and I just found a place and I was like, okay, you know, stop here. Let's see if we can just jump out. We're just going to go down to the beach for a bit. Just take in some of the energy. It was like a full moon and you know me, man. I love that kind of like energy and atmosphere. For me, that was just like, this is a very good moment. I'm feeling the synergies of everything right now. So then from there, just walked onto the beach again. There's nobody there. So it's just me, her, and the ocean and the moon just shining on us. And I was just like, oh, this is perfect. I'm getting the feels. Maybe this is the moment. So then we're just talking, walking, having a conversation, really admiring the country, and we saw the sunset on the cruise, and it was just so amazing. And it was just that video I sent, where it was like party after party. That one I sent to you. It was that same day. So already the vibe was just very, very kind of like energy was very high. And yeah, man, from that moment, just had the conversation, and then I just started. Man, I won't be able to recite what I said. It was very much like touch and go in the moment.
You went Shakespeare on him, or you went Usman Zayn on him.
I'm always like that, bro. I'm always speaking straight from the soul. I don't really like to overplan things, especially, you know, genuine things like that. So then it got to a point where pulled the ring out, did the you know, proposal.
Down on one knee?
Yeah, man.
Oh, you did the bit.
On the sand.
My
on
the guy. Sand.
Yeah, man. I wanted to do it in the most proper way possible. Obviously, beforehand, I had, like, spoken to the mother, spoken to pop, spoken to grandma, spoken to her father, like, got the okays before I did it. I wanted to make sure, you know, that part of the African tradition that we have, I didn't want to lose that just because I grew up here in the West, that I just do what I want to do, you know? That was really important to me. So I've actually been plotting this from late last year. I've been planning this and plotting this. So it was nice to really kind of finally get it off my chest. And, you know, it's a secret that I've been hiding from her, but hopefully it's the only one. Now I ain't got to hide no more secrets, so that's fine. But yeah, that's basically how it was done, man. It was done on that day.
Beautiful.
In that way.
Beautiful, beautiful. AJ, please.
I guess mine was cheesy. It was on a Ferris wheel.
Okay. I don't see you getting on one knee on a Ferris wheel, though. How did that work?
Where was this Ferris wheel?
In a mall.
Where was this mall?
Minnesota, United States.
Okay.
Isn't that the Mall of America?
Yes. Oh, he's playing it down.
It was a huge Ferris wheel as well. It was a huge Ferris wheel. It was a nice day out.
What did you do? Did you wait till you got to the very top? I'm obviously
as we were approaching. Mm-hmm. As we were approaching.
Oh man, that's so nice.
Mm-hmm. I told you it was cheesy.
Yo,
I know, okay, they're romantic.
Yeah, no, I love it. I love to hear it, man. I love to hear it.
Well, anyway, I'm just taking the gems, taking the ideas. So I'm gonna do some sort of fusion of a Ferris wheel. Mixed with a moon bath while Mercury's in retrograde, man. Yeah, okay.
Mercury was in retrograde.
It was. That's the only reason why that came to mind. You know me, I don't really mess with those, but.
So Mo, I would like to ask about the nitty gritty. You said there were some parts where you can really see the disparity between the rich and the poor.
Yeah, I even feel like that definitely is the case, even with the treatment, right? So, as I kind of said previously, people are very direct. Like, you kind of have to be very direct. If not, people will either just be like, this guy's not serious, or maybe they just won't get what you're trying to say. You know, if you're beating around, they don't do beating around the bush. A is A and B is B. If you go, maybe we can do A to Z, they'll be like, what do you mean A to Z? They'll just say, okay, well, I'll just do what I think you want me to do. But, you know, that assumption kind of settles in. And I noticed that definitely, you know, in terms of class, one thing that was quite clear is if you're from the west part of Freetown versus if you're from the east part of Freetown, there's definitely like that kind of disparity of the Westerners are more Western and the Easterners are more African in a sense where they would do something like come to your house and then when you say you're going to sleep, they'll just stay there.
Well, that's the East guys.
that's kind of like the mentality I had. You know, notice this was actually it was kind of broken down for me on the first day, and as I was spending time, because again, we have family in both sides. So as I was spending time with people from the West and then people from the East, I was like, I can kind of see where this is coming. I kind of get what that means. And I would say definitely, like, if the West is more Western, then they have more, I mean, they've just got more money, man. They've got more power. Mm. And with money and power comes, you know, authority. And when you have a place where it's like your AC's on, you have light, you have Wi-Fi versus, you know, somebody who lives in like a shack, bro.
With chickens and cows walking around. Cows, if you're lucky. A shack. Let's be real.
I didn't even see no cows. I'm talking like a shack that's holding like a family of 5, 6. Like, I went to building sites and I saw people living in building sites. Like, houses that are being built. And they work there as well. And I'm not talking about, like, you know, one or two people. I'm talking about families. Like, even down to, you know, the small picnics, the small kids. They would also contribute towards that. And to me, that's, like, one, it's a beautiful thing because it's really, like, we're all in it together. But two, man, it completely broke my heart, man. So definitely there was like a period where, again, my mind was kind of focused on, you know, I need to get this engagement right. And then first having kind of like my own experiences whilst I'm here. But after I had got the engagement out of the way, there was one day where we went to get some clothes sewn. So we went to the tailor. And just going to the area where he lived. And then from there, we ended up going to another house and just seeing the people there and meeting them and just speaking to them, you know, and just saying, yo, come, let's come and take a picture. And we took some very beautiful pictures and they love to take pictures over there. The phrase is snap. Bro, let me snap. Let me can snap. You just snap me, can't let me snap. That's the phrase, snap. They love snapping pictures.
Do you know what? I've always loved when Grand goes back to Sierra Leone and she comes back and she's picked up some new slang. Because it's as if, well, I mean, Creole is a language to communicate between tribes, essentially. Mm. So it's ever evolving. And I just love how they can just jazz certain words up. It's so cool.
It's like grandma does it. Like here when you're, you know, anywhere now. I mean, normally slang would be if you're from London back in the days, but slang is everywhere now in the UK, you know.
I guess the main difference, what I'm trying to say, is that the slang becomes part of the language itself.
Yeah.
So that even an older generation can. Whereas here, it's more separate.
Yeah.
It's more generational slang. So this generation has these words, that generation
has
that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I think maybe that's just because English as a language is like quite rigid in the sense of we'll only add this word in the Oxford Dictionary if it gets approval from all the knights and sirs, versus over there where it's like, yo, this is something that we've made up together. Like, let's just continue to build on it. And it's really something that belongs to the people, which is cool. I feel like they took ownership of it. And that's something I noticed as well. Like, I was hearing new phrases. I'll be honest, I got there, I was like, yo, I need to tighten up my ears or be able to just keep my brain on, because I'm actually not able to keep up with the conversations here. First couple of days, I was like, what did you say? And this is me. I'm confident in what I can hear in terms of Creole, but what I can say is, you know, not as confident. But yeah, just kind of just to go back to the point I was trying to make, you know, going and seeing these kids and, you know, they love to take pictures and just seeing the excitement and the energy they had. And every person that I was seeing, every single person, bro, I just remember thinking to myself, yo, I could have been any one of these people here. You know, it's sad to say and it's sad to see, like, that they have cripples over there. They have people that have, like, amputated arms and legs. And, you know, you see them if you're in the car driving and they're just by the roadside, man. And all they can do is beg. That's, like, the homeless that is out there. And it's so sad to see. You know, over here you have homeless people and then they'll have nicer shoes than you. Over there you see homeless people, they ain't even got legs. It was this specific day where we just kind of, I was in that West and I was like, oh yeah, I'm in this house and you know, everything's great and, you know, we have AC and I'll be honest, you know, things aren't always like, I don't know, things are just very different over there, man. And it just hit me so hard. I was in the car and I just, bro, I just started bawling out crying.
Wow.
I just started bawling out crying. I was like, this is peak, man. This is actually, I'm in the struggle. I can see everything that we have in the Western world. Now I know what, you know, somebody has to suffer for all of the things that we have here. Somewhere has to suffer. And I was in the place of where the suffering was happening. And it's honestly, it's heartbreaking to see, man. Even now talking about it, like it gets me in my feels. I do get emotional. But the one thing it definitely, you know, inspired me to do, because bro, people there are bright, man. In school, they learn, like, from the age of 6, 19 subjects.
Yeah, that's intense.
And as you grow older, you take on more. How can you be 6 years old and doing 19 subjects in school? 6 years old. So there's a lot, I don't know, of, like, structural things that I think kind of need to change. But the people there are very bright, man, but it's just the fact that they just don't have the opportunity. That opportunity has just been taken from them, you know. And one of our cousins was breaking it down to me. He's like, listen, he goes to a university which is one of the best ones there at the moment. I think it's FBC. I went to the university grounds and saw it. It's a really nice university, and you know, they've had people like mechanical engineers and, you know, structural engineers, and they've like graduated and come back and they've like built highways in the country, or they've built like new facilities within the university, and it's amazing to see that type of stuff, right? But he was, again, a cousin was breaking this down to me. He's like, listen, I go to like one of the better universities here in Sierra Leone. If I wanted to apply for a job and you coming from overseas apply for that same job, they wouldn't even look at me. Even if I got the highest, greatest grades and you got the worst, lowest grades. You barely passed. Just because you came from overseas, they'll take you over me. And it's just sad to say that, you know, they just don't have the opportunity, man. Or the opportunity is very limited. And because of that, the mindset and the lifestyle, everything is just the money, man. I was having this conversation and I was like, actually, really, if you want to understand, and this, again, I hate the fact that it's like this. If you really want to understand, you know, how a country works and how the lifestyle is in the country, you have to understand the money, because the money runs everything anywhere you go, right? If you need to survive, you need to have food. If you need to get food, you need to have money. In order to get money, you need some sort of job. You need something that can sustain you. You know, you can't really be in a place where, unless it's somewhere where money doesn't exist, you cannot be in a place where money exists and money doesn't dictate what life is.
Welcome to the Sage of Three Paths podcast. We are three brothers who use this space to talk about a range of topics, anything from politics, race, anime, and pop culture, each giving our own perspectives and opinions. I'm the youngest, Mo Jana, also known as Junior Lab.
I'm the oldest, Okello, but my brothers call me AJ.
Middle child, Oz, aka Wizard King.
See, okay, we're gonna, let's say £1,000, bro, that's like 2 or 3 bags of cash, like stacked bundles, tightly wrapped. That's 2 or 3 bags, like plastic bags that you would take shopping. How can you roll around with that, man? There's so many opportunities to be frauded, to be, you know, people can short you money. Even myself, bro, I got lost counting money. I had to count like 5, 6, 7, 8 times. And I'm not somebody who's like, I did okay in maths in school. You know, actually, I feel like I'm okay when it comes to that stuff. But it's like you have to be on accounting level, or as you're an accountant here, just in order to kind of understand and manage that money. But it's just so much, it's so difficult to deal with, man. And because of that, I feel like if you just don't know your way around it, you're going to miss out. So that for me was just some observations that I had, man. And again, it's just sad to see, man. But it's the reality, man. So definitely just go in there and doing whatever I can to help. It was something that I said I wanted to do, but now I have to do it because I've been there and I've seen it. And I'm like, it's tough, man. You either have it and you're living life, you have your driver, you tell them to do that, you have somebody to wash your clothes, you have somebody to cook your food, you have somebody to buy your groceries, you can have all of that. All of that. My white clothes have never been this white, ever. But then I know that there's some people that don't even have shoes, yo.
They don't even have legs, yo.
They don't even have legs, yo. On a serious tip.
Well, just to say, obviously, there are people there who don't have legs, not because of poverty, but because of the civil war people lost their legs to. For some context.
Yes. But it's both, man. If you're living in a place where the conditions are terrible and you cut your foot, you can't afford to go and get it fixed. That then becomes infected. Conditions are not great. You're living in a shack, which is like, honestly, one of the biggest issues that I saw there was rubbish gets burnt, man. Again, I'm seeing everything that we have in the West. I'm seeing what actually happens, like the end part of it. All the waste that's sent from here or from other places, like I see the landfills of trash being burnt and you can see like just smoke in the air. And it's just like, this is destroying this country. This is destroying the air here.
It's destroying the planet.
It's destroying the planet. Of 100%, 100%. But for me, it's like, I've been in places like Germany where they have systems like if you want to recycle something, you know, you buy something, if you want to recycle it, you can actually get money back for recycling that. And it's like, does stuff like this exist here? And it's like, yeah, it does. And I'm like, well, then what's stopping this from being done in a mass way? But then...
Just saying most of Germany's recycling material gets sold to poor countries such as Sierra Leone and across Asia.
I know.
So... As you say, you were seeing their results of their recycling.
The solution is it's not a full solution. It's let me hide it. And that's one thing that I kept saying, because even, you know, for Mercedes, she was just like, wow, like she can see it's not hidden. And I was like, that's it. It's the same. Don't get it wrong. We burn trash over on the West too. The only thing is, like, it's hidden. Even the differences between classes, it's not as clear to see, not unless you go and see somebody's car or somebody's house. Like, you don't just see it in plain sight. Over there, there's no, like, smoke and mirrors. That doesn't exist over there. It's just reality. Where you go, when you go there, you see this is real life. Like, this is actually real life. There's no label on it. There's no this. This is just life. And when you see that, it hits you. Because then it goes to, you know, you go to yourself and it's just like, well, what if I was here? Again, I could have been any of these people. It was, you know, our parents that made the decision or had the opportunity to come overseas to give us opportunities. And it's just like, we shouldn't forget the sacrifice they made. Because again, as much as that's there, bro, you can still enjoy your life out there, bro. You can have no money and you can still really enjoy your life. You can. You have all of the stuff. You just have things that you there's so much that we have that we don't need. Whereas over there, you know, life is simple, but it's real life. You don't need to have this latest iPhone. You don't need to have this latest Balenciaga shoes. It doesn't matter. Because you're stepping on the same sand, those shoes aren't going to keep clean, not in that dust, not in the motherland. It doesn't matter. unless you want to consistently clean it and whatever and whatnot. But yeah, man, that was just one thing that definitely stood out to me. It was just, you can see it, plain sight. The rich and the poor, plain sight.
The haves and the have-nots.
Plain sight.
It's crazy. Sounds like a hell of a trip, man. It sounds like you caught the bug.
Oh,
reminds
man.
Me that gone.
You got jungle fever.
Yo, that place is full of opportunity. When I say full of opportunity, it's full of opportunity. Small ideas that we have here, if we just take it, set it up, boom. Not only do we change people's lives, but you can make bank off it, man.
Oh, well. Gen Tech Solutions is already registered under Company's House, so... Well, at the time of this recording, it's registered under Company's House. Who knows? 10 years from now.
So, a friend of mine, he went out to Dubai for some time. He went to live there. And as he lived there, he made friends with some Nigerians from Nigeria, born and raised. And they were explaining to him their stories. And he was telling me their stories. And one of these guys was like, pretty much the have-nots. He was amongst them. He was a have-not. And he got a job while he was young, like while he was like 12. And I forget what the job was, but he had to hustle for like 2 to 3 years to save up to buy a laptop. So he bought a laptop, taught himself coding, and does cryptocurrency out in Dubai as a full-time job, trading. And he's like, because there people are in that desperation, there's a drive that they have. So as you say, there's loads of opportunities. It's just, I heard something quite similar from a doctor. He was saying he wanted to end up living in a country like Pakistan or an African country. And he goes, because there's really brilliant people out there. Like, honestly, there's really brilliant, hardworking people out there. It's just that a lot of them don't get the opportunity. So he was saying he wants to go there to help create the opportunity and foster the opportunity. I guess he wasn't aware that him going there and getting a job is contributing to taking away the opportunity.
I know, right? I know, that's the one thing. So it's like, you can't just, you have to go there and create
there needs to be a net positive.
Yeah, you have to create jobs. And really and truly, you know, where I kind of have my, or envision what I would like to do is, you know, I work at the moment or currently, and there'll be clients or organizations that I've worked with, and they have offshore people working on the same thing. In this current team, I'll have somebody, you know, working in India. We can have the same thing set up. We just need the agency set up, create those relationships with these organizations, you know, wherever they are in the world. And then all we need to do is make sure that the people that we can provide to deliver that service have the skill set. Once they have that knowledge and skill set and can apply it, that's it. All we need to do is the opportunity, add the direction to it. Once we add that direction, it works out for itself. All it then needs to be done is managed. But it's a different mindset out there. So I know that, you know, if I wanted to do business, honestly, it would be very difficult to do business if I'm not like there.
We learned that from watching our parents as we were growing up. Yeah. All the family members sending money back home for so many different projects and whatnot. You ain't there.
Yeah.
People are hungry.
Yo, everybody's trying to eat.
There's not.
I went to the building site, right? I went to a building site like maybe three or four times. And it's amazing to see. And I was saying it today. I was walking to the gym today, and I was looking at them building some apartments, and I was like, "Damn, they're using like these big cranes and like crazy scaffold." Did you know what they use out there? Their two hands and their two feet, bro. Everything is done naturally. They use for scaffolding for a building. They are using logs and wood, and they're tying.
It's the second time you've described this phenomenon, and it's automation. It's going to happen in Africa as well. It's the ripple effect of industrialization. Obviously, those who were in front with it is Europe. But yeah, it's well on its way. How are the roads? So with the automation and whatnot and the labor force, one thing I've heard across Africa, and I guess I say I heard because I studied about it for my master's, right? But was the foreign investment from China and Chinese companies going over there and sending workers there. Did you see anything like that?
Yeah, definitely, man. Definitely, I saw that. So I inquired about this. Actually, I went to the vice president's office. Very super quick brief, you know, hi, yes, this is who I am. We'll have another conversation another day. But I was able to meet, you know, some of the ministers there and just have, you know, very brief conversations. And I even got a brochure of something that is basically a Chinese, I don't know whether it's like a Chinese government organization or a private organization. But basically it's like a brochure of all of the work that they've done internationally in countries to like improve infrastructure, build airports and build roads. And this is sitting in like, you know, a government office. And, you know, for some reason it's like, oh yeah, look over this. Maybe you might have an understanding. Maybe they saw the tattoo on my arm and thought, this guy understands the Chinese.
He'll finally be able to translate what the hell's going on.
Maybe we should ask this guy, see if they're trying to release us.
Chicken fried rice on your arm.
but I did inquire about this, like, again, just as we're driving, it's like, you know, I would ask the driver, like, please, can you just, as we're going places, just explain to me, like, where we are at, like, who built it, when it was built. Because one thing I was really shocked about, I thought the roads would be terrible. Honestly, I was, again, I think all of those preconceptions that you may
propaganda,
have.
Propaganda, of course. It's all the propaganda from the charities, which are businesses.
Man.
So they're trying to show, you know, pull on people's heartstrings. They're not going to show you a nice developed side of Africa, of course.
Man, they have roads, they have highways. This is in like a small country like Sierra Leone, bro. They have good roads, right? But they also have, I saw, and this is so amazing and beautiful to see. I saw what they have to do before a road is created. Like, I'm seeing the whole process, and this for me is just mind-blowing. They have to dig up all of the you know, the huge rocks and stones. Then when they've, you know, digged out all of that, they can then plow it to then have a flat surface. And this is like where you get the dust, and then once they have that flat surface down, that's when they can then lay the concrete. But I saw that, like, we went to one of the towns called Toke, and to go there, there's two ways you can go. And they have, like, the main road which you can go, but it's long. You got to go around. Or you could just take the road that they're currently constructing, and it's basically you're driving on just the earth. Like, no concrete, no road. You're just driving on the earth. And that, for me, was amazing. You know, there's ditches everywhere. And I'm not talking small ditches, I'm talking we can't go down like one tire cut. We have to go around this whole ditch, because if we go down, we ain't coming back up. The car will get stuck. But I think, yeah, when you go out maybe to like the towns or some of the other rural areas, we didn't end up going upline, but that's definitely next time on the agenda. I want to go to one of the villages. Maybe there it will be different. But man, the roads weren't bad, and there were roads that were built by Sierra Leoneans. But again, when I inquired, one thing that was told to me is, if you're Sierra Leonean, actually, they wouldn't want you to build the road. They would rather have somebody come from overseas and build the road, just because then they know it will be done properly. And then they don't have no headache, or they don't have to worry about, you know, money going disappearing, or like people taking materials. Like, again, I went to a building site, so I like firsthand had experience with, okay, money's been sent for materials have been, you know, kind of distributed. And I was really like up close with it. every process. I just wanted, just so I could learn, just so I could see what is it, how is it managed here? Where are like the gaps and the holes and all these, like, I guess, stories that I've heard of just difficulty trying to, you know, manage or do something when you're overseas and it's over here. And it's like, bro, everybody's trying to eat. There'll be people and it's like, okay, well, there's concrete here. And they'll just sell it, bro. They'll just take, like, these are people that will work. They're working to build the house. You've employed construction workers. You've paid for the material. They are doing the job. But as they're doing the job, they're just like, yo, there's a lot of concrete here.
Everybody's got to eat.
Everybody's
good. Everybody's trying to eat.
Let me just sell my little bit on the side. Nobody will notice. But when you've got everybody doing that, or you've got multiple people doing that, they'll notice, bro. I went to a building, I told you, a building site, 50 guys, right? The way they were operating was like no machine has ever operated. A machine cannot operate that way. I was amazed. I was like, wow, I've seen a video of this, but I've seen it in the flesh. This different. This is like top quality work. These people, you see the way that their muscles are flexing. I'm like, African power. This is amazing. But it's hard work and it's hot. So I understand that people want stuff like water. You know, if they're doing the work, they need water to drink. They probably want food to eat. And they don't want that to come out of their pay. They want that to be provided, complimentary, all-inclusive.
Is their pay low? Okay.
Yes.
I guess that's a bit of a leading question.
Compared to here.
I assume their pay... No. For them. Is that a decent day's pay for them? Well, one way to tackle corruption is to pay everyone a living wage.
Yeah, I would say...
Decrease your lower class as much as possible. It's a surefire way to clean up corruption. If people have money and are able to use it efficiently...
I would say it's good enough pay for you to stay in the same class that you're in. It's not good enough pay for you to progress.
It's
very difficult for you to progress from where you already are. Which is why people are more inclined to try and do their own thing on the side. Because it's like, well, the money I'm getting is only going to feed... Again, it's the mindset, man. It's a very different mindset. Imagine we have the month that we'd planned for with these bills and there's this that we have to consider and this, we need to make sure that we plan for this. Over there, it's like, yo, today, what am I eating? You know, there's not like a... And again, this isn't everybody. I'm speaking about maybe specific...
The have-nots.
Yeah, let's say specifically the have-nots, the people that don't have, the opportunity.
Future money.
Yeah. They don't open the fridge and see a fridge full of food and drinks. You know, they don't do monthly food shopping. That's not a thing out there. What they'll do is, okay, what I earn today is what I will get. And what I get is what we'll cook and that's what we'll eat.
That's not good. That's a fundamental problem that needs to change.
Yeah, but it's hard because, again, that's the mindset. And this is the thing that, again, I had learned is not everybody wants to change that. Like, people are happy, bro.
Yeah,
people will make that money.
Who's more happier, do you think? The haves or the have-nots? To keep things the same.
The have-nots ask, what would you do for them?
I would say...
Not what have you done?
I would say the have-nots to some degree because they have less of the stress. Because the haves have the stress.
The stress of keeping what they have.
Not just keeping what they have, but in order to get what they get. Is stressful because...
Yeah, but is that not stressful for the have-nots more? That's not a...
No, because the way that I see it and the way that I guess I would like to explain it is, imagine you have, in order to do or have work done, you need the have-nots to do the work. you want to pay them, you know, you don't want to pay people that, you know, you have to pay them a big salary, because if that's the case, then your returns are low. So you want to pay the people that, you know, you don't actually have to pay that much money. You know that they'll do a good job, but you know that in order to do that, you have to be one, on top of them. You have to be two, direct. And three, you got to make sure that they're not doing any slide business on you.
And you're going to make sure that you buy one that bag of rice.
Yeah, and when you have versus the have-nots, they just work, and that's it. They work, and then they can either eat, enjoy it, and party. That's it, bro. They don't have the stress of, oh, where's it, this? Because the thing is that, like, they will be able to work. When I say that everyone works, I'm talking about, I've seen kids, and they'll be breaking down the rocks, because, again, they're big rocks that they take up from the road, and then they try and break them down to, like, really, really small pebbles. So once they're really small, then they can kind of use that as part of, like, reinforcement for the foundation. Like, everybody works from early. So for them, it's like actually working is just a part of life. And you'll see that there during the day, you won't see that many people. The only people you'll see out are the people working, like in the market. Soon as 5 o'clock hits, that's when you start to see everybody come out. And guess what? Everybody's either eating, going to the beach, or partying.
I hear you, Mo, but I guarantee you that I'm not convinced at all. And I think this will be something that you see as you grow up. Not to insult, oh, you're young, you don't get it. Da, da, da. I think it's a journey to understand. And we could do it, but I want to speak more about your time there, and because we went on like a deep dive on the how nitty gritty it was, which I greatly appreciate. But yeah, I want to hear more stuff. I mean, Sierra Leone's an incredibly hilly country, as you're telling me about these 45 degree angled hills. How high did you go?
Oh man,
I mean, the place Sierra Leone, its name originates from Lion Mountain. Right?
Yeah, Sierra Leoa, which directly translate the Portuguese name that was given to the country directly translate to Lion Mountain. Man, some of the hills that I had encountered, and this is, I'll keep it real, it's a hilly country. The whole country's full of hills. And you gotta have a serious motor vehicle to get up them hills. This is not a hill that you can just walk up. It's these kinds of hills. Like, if you're walking up the hill, you're going to have to, like, lean forward and kind of, like, bend your knees, do the Spider-Man, because if not, you're going to fall back. Like, you just cannot do it. It's that hilly. Like, when I say steep, I'm talking the first day we were out, again, we were staying at a place called Juba Hill, and I was like, we can't be going up there. There's no way we're going up there. The car's not supposed to go. It looked like a mountain. So I need to get all my apparatus, get my harness with my helmet just to go up this hill. You want me to sit in the back of this car and expect it not to roll back? Come on. But yeah, it's really beautiful. We did a hike. Actually, there was a few hikes we wanted to do, but we ended up only just doing one. And this is a place called Lester Peak, which is basically like the highest point of... I think it's the highest point. I don't know if it is. I cannot confirm that as a fact. But I know it's one of the highest points in the country. It's basically where all the radio towers are and, you know, the big telecom towers as well. And man, that was like a 1 hour hike. So we went from Hill Station, which is more like flat land, let's say in the center, more flat, all the way to the top of this place called Lester Peak. It took us 1 hour walk. And it's just straight steep. It's like you're climbing a mountain for 1 hour. And when you're at the top, honestly, the views are so beautiful. You can see across the whole country, or the whole city anyway. And like, you know you're high when you're in West Africa and it's cold. Legit. I was like, okay, why do I feel like I'm back in the UK right now?
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Like, and again, because it's a, again, I would say a windy country, so the location of it's quite windy. That when you're at the top of that mountain, oh my goodness, like it's, you're so high you can see fog from the clouds. Nice. Which is just amazing. Like you, it's like you're in the cloud. But yeah, that was like, that's definitely a place. And you know how I was saying before about there's loads of opportunities for like tourism. That is definitely like a tourist kind of hike. If they,
what's it called?
I don't think the hike has a name, but the place is called Leicester Peak. So they could do things like, you know, just have road signs. Oh, X amount of meters to go, X amount of time to go. And then when you're at the top, like it's again, very, there's not a lot of people there, man. So as you're doing this hike, you have like this place, bench where you can sit down and you literally look down at Freetown. Don't step forward because you will fall and die.
Because of like, safety regulations. You're literally climbing.
legit climbing a mountain. So you've climbed like on the side of it. You've reached the peak. If you go down, like if you look down, all you see is just rocks and trees and yeah, you will fall to your death. But definitely that's like an opportunity. I was like, this could be a tourist attraction. Definitely people would come in and take their pictures and post it wherever they wanted to do it and just say, yeah, I'm doing the challenge for it. Cause it's hard. It's tough, man. Like it's tough. It's not, I'm just doing an hour walk. No, it's like, yo, I'm climbing. You know me, I'm like relatively fit. Man, I was blowing, dripping the sweat. I had to take breaks. I was trying to savor that one bottle of water and I'm thinking, I don't know if this is going to be enough. And I'm trying not to do it in like a slow pace. I'm trying to do it with good timing. But again, it's, you're walking straight uphill. No treadmill has that gradient. And you're just going, trying to stretch your arms out just so you can have balance whilst you're walking up. And as you're doing it, it's nice. You know, you see some of the locals in their houses and, you know, they just say stuff like hello and they'll just say hi. And it's a definitely a rewarding, it's tough, but it's very rewarding hike. That's one thing I would recommend if anybody goes, definitely. You know, your start point could be anywhere, but just try and do a hike up to Leicester Peak. That would be definitely worth it.
Well, I was going to say for the last thing for me, as I guess it's getting pretty late now, but if there was one thing you saw, which was just like, I love this place, or I wish I could show this, or you had to take a picture, or the experience itself was just, it stood out more than any other, what would that be?
So this, you might find this a bit silly, but definitely I like, first thing that comes to my mind, we went to Tokay Beach. Again, Tokay is like a out of the city Freetown. It's like a smaller town. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful beach. Quite remote as well. And when we had arrived there, again, there was nobody there, just fishermen, actually. There was just a fisherman and maybe some of the people that lived in that town. And they were doing fishing. And we had asked for a coconut. And I've seen these trees, and I'm talking about, like, these trees are very, 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 very gigantic, high trees. Man. Huge. And this guy, with his hands and feet, I've never seen anything like it. I was shocked. I was like, he's not going to the top. He's just going to climb up a little bit and shake it. This guy climbed to the very top of this tree. And I'll send you a video just so you can understand what I'm talking about. To the very top of this tree. And I'm seeing him do it. And I'm like, this guy is moving like he's not human.
Tobey Maguire out here, my guy.
These are not human. These are not human movements. The way he positioned himself, no protection, no, none of that. You want the coconut? Okay, I'll go get the coconut. And he's climbing up this tree, bro. And honestly, when he reached the top, he's picking the coconuts and he's just throwing them down. And even the fall, I'm just like, it's taking a couple of seconds for it to drop. I'm like, wow, he is so high. If the wind blows, if that was me, I'd be flying, I'd be shaking. Obviously something that he's done like regularly. But that for me was just like so mind blowing to see, like, you know what, like, again, we come from a place where on this side of the world, things we just expect are us on the shelf, it's in the shop, this and that. But over there, it's different, man. Like, I was in that same beach and, like, the fishermen, I saw them fish. And I saw them catch the fish that I was going to eat. And I saw them grill that fish. And I tasted it. And my mind was blown. Because I'd never tasted fish like that ever in my life. I was shocked by the taste because I was like, fish doesn't taste like this. Actually, what? This isn't fish. What is this? This must be some other specimen because this is like, my taste buds are like alarming right now. What is this? So definitely visiting somewhere like that where you can just really kind of see just the natural part of life there, you know, away from the city. Because again, the city, one thing I noticed is it does have like Western tendencies or Western influences. You can definitely see that. But when you go to like more of the towns, then you really see like, oh, this is the country. This is Africa. This is actually how it's done properly. Not just top up, buy an AfriCell, top up. That's also a pretty cool, innovative thing. You know, like how you have the markets here. You know, people will be saying, you know, 5 fruit is for a pound, 5 fruit is for fiver. Over there, innovation. You know what they use? A megaphone, and they just record their voice, and then they just lay the megaphone down and press play, and it just repeats it, and repeats it, and repeats it. So imagine as you're driving around, all you hear is top up, you want to buy AfriCell, top up, get your top up, and it's just like, this is smart, but I could not be sitting here listening to my voice say that 24/7 straight up, again and again and again and again and again. You'll hear it when you go there, man. And I guess just one other thing that really stood out to me was banking is not a thing over there. Like, they bank, they have banks, but banking is not like the way that they deal with money. And I thought that was really, really innovative. It was interesting to see how it's handled in a different way. They bank with their phones. All of it's their money is through their phones. You know, yeah, if you want to.
That's why crypto has the potential of being something way more than what we currently perceive it to be.
Yeah, if you want to, like, they do something called orange money. So they have orange out there. They've got orange money and AfriCell money as well. So these are like two mobile providers. But if you want to send money to anybody, you send it to their mobile number. You don't send it to their bank. You don't have no bank details, sort code. So you could be, you know, living in a remote place and you can still get money sent to you. You don't have to find ATM. You just go to the shacks that they have with the orange or AfriCell kind of hubs. Tell them your number. They'll check on their system on the phone. Okay, yeah, you've got this amount of money waiting. Same amount, same place that if you want to top up your phone, you know, you just pull up, you'll hear someone, yo, you're doing top up. Tell them your number, give them the cash.
Ding. What happens if you've got your top up? You want to spend that money. Even if you go to the market, you would send it to their phone as opposed to having cash on you and spending money that way.
Yeah, I think that's how it would be done, but there's very limited places that you can actually spend. Like, you wouldn't be able to just go to a market and say, okay, I'm going to buy this.
My main thing is, how do you get that money? Or is that money just to be sent around on this?
No, you can get that money as cash. That's what I was saying. If you go to the...
They actually get it from... Okay, cool. I'm with you.
So imagine if they have like couriers. So imagine it's like, let's say it's like mobile network. So you have EE. You basically go to an EE shop and then they'll take your money out. And it's all by the phone number. And even if you want to open it, you have to bring your passport as a form of ID. So it's like you're opening a bank, but it's through your network, not through a bank.
It's interesting.
Again, I thought that was pretty cool. I was like,
oh, they do this completely differently here, but it makes sense.
Hey, Okello here. This section is a space where we'll be sharing short stories, creative experiences, and art.
Wow, you made it to the end. Well, kind of. Mo, guys, thank you very much for, I guess, listening to my kind of anecdote journey of me going back home to Sierra Leone and just my experiences. Actually, whilst I was out there, I was lucky enough to kind of be able to really absorb and be exposed to a lot of different just sounds, and I guess just being somebody who loves to explore sounds. There was a beat that I had made from that experience, and it's called Lungi Beach. So yeah, here's just a little snippet so you can catch a vibe, but yeah, hope you enjoy it.
And stillness, it comes to an end. We hope you found some gems and go away richer in soul and spirit. We're showing you the three paths of the sage. Your path is your own. Which path do you follow? Until next time.